From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Ollie Barrett there. It's approaching 3 minutes past three, Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th of November 2020. I'm Richie Allen. How are you? Brand new time slot for the show. Delighted to be with you. Do tweet me. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
With me big baldy head on me. Welcome.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, I shouldn't be using these stings and these sweeps, but I didn't have time to do anything. I'll do it next week and it'll sound all different because it's a different type of radio show, this. And you're very welcome to it, which I've already bloody well said. Yes, prone to repeating myself. I've got a few choice tunes for you, a few choice tunes and one or two new stories. Nothing too heavy. Friday afternoons, that's the way it's going to be from now on in at 3 p.m. UK time. This programme replacing Sunday View, which is on hiatus. All right, how are you this Friday? Are you in good form? Do you find yourself in better form on Fridays? Do you? Do you? Even though every single day is like Groundhog Day, one day is exactly the same as the next and the one that preceded it with lockdown. I don't know. Friday the 13th. Remember that and all that? Remember? Friday the 13th, remember? Remember that? What am I doing here? Mistake number one on day number one. Let's try that again. You remember Friday the 13th and all of that? Remember Jason Voorhees and all that? I was musing on this today because no longer do you see these films on television. Friday the 13th. Halloween, you don't see these films on TV anymore when these milestone dates come around. And I was thinking about it today, Friday the 13th. I used to be a huge horror buff. And I wonder, how were we ever terrified of those films? Sky Cinema at the moment has got all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Jason Takes Manhattan. How were we scared of him? The Innocents, when you think back. Kevin Bacon starring in Friday the 13th. Great quiz question, that. Who was the killer in Friday the 13th? It wasn't Jason, of course. It was his mother. We used to be scared of those films. Not anymore. I used to run up the stairs to hide when The Incredible Hulk started. That's the TV show with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby. Now, I believe, because I did a late night phone-in on the radio in Spain many years ago, I believe that I'm not alone when I say that I was scared of the opening credits of The Incredible Hulk, Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. You'll remember them, of course. You'll remember that.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Yeah, that used to terrify the living bejesus out of me when I was younger and I would leave the room. That point when he does in his hand, when he wrecks his hand with his spanner and turns into the Incredible Hulk, God be with the days. Again, the innocence, the things that could terrify you. Show that to a six-year-old child now and they would probably laugh out loud. No need for child laxatives back then. I had an aunt back then when we were kids, wouldn't go to the toilet unaccompanied after watching Jaws. Honest to God, that's the truth. That's one flexible great white shark right there. Actually would not go to the loo after watching Jaws. Candyman comes to mind. I'm absolutely rabbiting on it. Candyman comes to mind in terms of a film that scared the living bejesus out of me. I had a mate, and again, the innocence, 14 years of age when Candyman came out. 14, I think we were, when it came out. I remember Virginia Madsen was in it. And because I'm an absolutely unashamed racist, total racist gammon, I can't remember the name of the man who played Candyman himself, but I'm thinking his name was Tony something or other, the Candyman. You look into the mirror and say Candyman five times and then he kills you. Remember that? But I watched this film with a friend of mine. This is absolutely true. when we were 14. We were in school. It was a Friday or a Saturday night. And we'd blagged some cans of Harp lager, Irish lager. We'd blagged some cans. We come because we heard about the Harp. So we got some Harp. We watched Candyman and we were shitting ourselves watching it. He went upstairs to the loo and I knew he'd say Candyman to the mirror. I just knew he would. So I snuck up the stairs and he flushed the loo and I heard the running water. Washed his hands. Good lad. My friend, I'm not going to name him. And I heard him say Candyman twice. And then he lost his bottle. He didn't even say it a third time. Opened the bathroom door and I turned off the landing light and I jumped on him and his screams could be heard in County Cork back in the day. Peter Sutcliffe is dead. The Yorkshire Ripper. You might be seeing this if you're listening to radio today or watching television news. Killed a lot of women in the 1970s and attempted to kill many more besides. Sentenced to life in prison and 10 years ago he was told by a judge he'd never be released so long as he was alive. Well, he died in the early hours of this morning. It's a big story. I'm not going to cover it. You just did, Baldy. Well, not in any great depth. Hayden Hewitt, very interested in the story of Peter Sutcliffe. That's all I'm saying. That's triggerwarning.tv's Hayden Hewitt. Peter Sutcliffe. Apparently he had coronavirus, but he refused treatment. He said, I don't want any treatment. And then he died. That's the story. Donald Trump keeps on tweeting, I was robbed. President Barack Obama has spoken to 60 Minutes. I had a very lively exchange with Jim Fetzer last night on the radio programme. In case you missed it, it was fun. Jim believes Donald Trump. He believes him, hook, line and sinker, that he was robbed. There you are. I'm not going to say too much about that either. And I had an email from the Daily Mail today. I had an email from the, not from the newspaper itself, but from one of its reporters. They're running a story about vaccine denial. Vaccine denial? Vaccine scepticism. Yes. And misinformation. This is going to be a big thing now going forward. Oh, that's one of those corporate feckin' terms, isn't it? Going forward. I need to put a fiver in the box after saying that. Dreadful shite, that. In the near future, we're going to hear a lot about vaccine scepticism, misinformation. And there is a big clamour at the moment to make it illegal. I'm not lying. The UK's news media this week, a lot of talk shows, Jeremy Vine, LBC. Jeremy Vine is on the BBC, we'll hear from his radio show in a few moments, but LBC Radio as well, the national media, asking the question, should it be illegal, against the law, to publish misinformation about vaccine safety? So I had an email from the Daily Mail today. They're running a story tomorrow in the paper, apparently. I'm going to get a mention, apparently. And the reporter asked me if I thought it was responsible in a time of pandemic to say that I wouldn't have the vaccine and that I believe the vaccine itself is unnecessary. It was a very polite email, very professional, and I responded to it in kind. I thanked the reporter for having the courage, unlike the Guardian newspaper, to actually ask me for a comment. And then I gave him a nice comment explaining why I said I wouldn't have the vaccine. We'll find out tomorrow if they print that response that I gave them today. This is Friday's Richie Allen Radio Show. Amy Winehouse, Tears Dry on Their Own, the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's exactly 3:15, Friday afternoon. How you doing? Do let me know on Twitter. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Couple of stories. Tesco limiting online customers at the moment amid Christmas rush. Pay close attention to this. There will be chaos as we get into December in terms of people trying to access online supermarket services. There is going to be chaos. And I know this. I know that Amazon has gotten into bed with Morrisons, whereby if you subscribe to Amazon's Prime service, you'll get in a queue to get your groceries delivered by Morrisons. It's going to be chaos. It really is. Mentioned already Yorkshire Ripper Peter Sutcliffe, again, all over the BBC this afternoon. It's been reported right now that Joe Biden has been given the state of Arizona Donald Trump supporters won't like that one little bit. It doesn't matter a damn, but I'm not going to dwell on that today. He's projected to have won traditionally Republican Arizona, extending his victory, says the BBC, over Donald Trump. Many Republicans, it must be said, and some journalists, Tucker Carlson and others, believe that there is enough evidence to suggest that something very wrong has happened and that it should be independently investigated. But it's not going to be, I don't believe, and Biden will win. There you go. Some news outlets in the United States are reporting that Donald Trump, the president, he's still the president, will consider running for president in 5 years' time if he has to leave the White House this time around. One of his close friends told the New York Times that very thing, that if Trump realises that there's no chance and that he's banging his head against a brick wall regarding his claims of corruption and fraud and mail fraud, he'll give up and he'll run again in 2024. Sure, why not? 17 minutes past the hour. Let's just move on. More music to come. More good music to come. Lawrence Fox, the actor who's formed a new political party. You know Lawrence Fox, his party is the Reclaim Party. According to many newspapers in this country this afternoon, this morning even, he's been dropped by his acting agent. And he was dropped over the phone, apparently, because of recent controversies around racism and all of that. According to the Independent newspaper, the actor, who has been continually embroiled in controversies throughout the year, said that his former agent's decision reaffirmed exactly why he opted to launch his Reclaim political party. Back in September, seems a long time ago, Lawrence Fox announced he was launching the party to fight the so-called culture wars. The group was described by one Westminster source as basically a UKIP for culture. So he's been dropped. Disassociating with somebody because they have opinions deemed to be unsavoury. That's the new normal right there, eh? Not good, is it? Not good. But we've seen that. We've seen big retail giants discontinuing relationships with certain providers, product providers, because of Twitter, what would you call them? What would you call Twitter storms, eh? And this is the way it's going. We don't normally do sport, but we'll do sport today because it ties in with the news. Last night, Scotland qualified for the European Championships, which will be held next year and not this year because of coronavirus. So Scotland, first time in how many years is it? Let me bring it up. When was the last time Scotland was in a tournament? Was it 1998? I think it was, in France. 22 years since the Scots qualified for a major football tournament. Oh, flower of Scotland, when will we see your like again? I won't sing the rest of it. Scotland beat Serbia on penalties, and Uri Geller, is claiming that he did it. Uri Geller, he did it for the Scots. And he's tweeted videos of himself doing some mind-bending, spoon-bending rituals that he claims helped Scotland over the line for the first time in 22 years. Yeah, Scotland are in England's group next summer, meaning they will play England. Marvellous. Here's Nicky Campbell, a Scotsman himself, BBC Radio 5 Live, speaking to the sports guy Chris Latcham. And this is all the more interesting for what Latcham says at the end. Yeah, normally around now, we hear the audio. Let's try that again. Nicky Campbell, speaking to sports guy Chris Latcham. Here we go.
I think that Scotland are a potential banana skin for England, do you know?
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's a Friday night game, evening game. I presented 6:06. The last time Scotland and England played in a game of some magnitude, it was 2-2. Lee Griffiths scored two
free
kicks.
Lee Griffiths, yeah, fantastic free kicks.
He came on last night. I'm really looking forward to it, Nicky. I think it's going to be fantastic. Hopefully, with a virus vaccine on the horizon, some fans might be allowed to be in the stadium to enjoy those games.
Lovely. Hopefully, with a virus vaccine in the offing, we'll be able to enjoy the games. That's how it's going to be, dear listener. No vax, No entry. No vax, no entry. Were you vaxxed? You weren't. You're not going anywhere, son. Go home and self-isolate. And watch it on the telly. All right. Ah, well, let's try and keep things upbeat anyway. I said I would. Staying with the football, or the foosball, Jimmy Cranky didn't deliver the death toll from Scotland today. No, she didn't. It was her Deputy First Minister, John Swinney. John Swinney. John Swinney. Now, Scotland rejoiced last night. First time, 22 years, celebrations, all of that. It's the weekend. The Scots want to carry on celebrating. Here's Deputy First Minister John Swinney. There'll be no celebrating for the Scots.
I think we all understand that there is a natural appetite for people to celebrate in the aftermath of what was a very, very anxious evening last night. And all credit to the Scotland team for their resilience and perseverance. But there's also been resilience and perseverance on the part of football fans for the last 22 years when we've been absent from these competitions. So I think we all understand the natural desire to celebrate. But, and of course there has to be a...
But, there's a desire for people to celebrate, but, well...
There has to be a but here. The virus is a very real threat to all of our lives and our communities and to our loved ones. I've had to report today some terrible statistics about the number of deaths that have taken place from coronavirus. So although we're all frustrated and fed up with the restrictions, and when something comes along, like a magnificent Scotland football team victory...
Imagine you're actually listening to this. This is not a parody.
We all naturally want to celebrate. But I want to share with you some words from the Director of Public Health of NHS Grampian, who put this out this morning in relation to some of the celebrations. I can say this virus does not rest. It does not take a minute off, much less 90 minutes extra time and penalties.
I know.
Who put this out this morning in relation to some of the celebrations. I can say this virus does not rest.
Right, doesn't rest.
Rest. It does not take a minute off, much less 90 minutes extra time and penalties.
The virus doesn't ignore penalties and extra time. Yeah.
Letting our guard down gives it the opportunity to pass from person to person, and as too many families can confirm, it can have deadly consequences. Yeah. Now, I agree wholeheartedly with that. Yes, we want to celebrate, but we all have to understand that following the social distancing rules and the facts guidance that I've set out are critical to interrupt the spread of the virus, because what the virus needs, frankly, is human contact. And we're all missing that. You know,
the virus needs human contact. It doesn't care about penalties and extra time in football. We just need to just do what we're told. So cancel that crate of McEwan's that you'd ordered. And ring your mates up and tell them not to come around tonight to watch the highlights of the game, because the virus doesn't rest.
We're all missing the opportunities to celebrate and to embrace and to hug and to, in the way that we would normally do with our loved ones and our families and our friends. But if we let our guard down, the virus will have an opportunity to spread.
The virus will have an opportunity to spread. Deputy First Minister of Scotland, John Swinney, there. Young Scottish men and women, rejoice that your country has qualified for a major football tournament for the first time in over two decades. But don't do anything about it. Sit on your hands. Don't have a drink. Don't meet people. Because the virus doesn't rest, imagine. Doesn't rest. No rest for the virus. Here's Tom Robinson on the Richie Allen Show. Tom Robinson, 2468 Motorway. On the Richie Allen Radio Show, Friday afternoon, the time is approaching 28 minutes past the hour. 28 minutes past three, really. But I know you're listening in New York, and I've got listeners in California. Hi to Charlie Stevenson. Charlie still believes. I still believe that Donald Trump will win the presidency, will be re-elected. The incumbent will win. Dream on, Charlie. It's not going to happen. Hi to Amanda Thompson. Hi, Amanda. How are you? Hi to Donkey, who says, Richie, I'm willing to bet there was a shitload of footy parties all over Scotland last night. Screw the made-up virus, he says. Lovely. And I did Peter John McCann. Hi, Peter. Sent me a photograph. Northern Ireland played a football match last night against Slovakia. Sadly, just like the Republic, sadly, our Northern Irish pals didn't make it to the European Championships either. Sadly, there won't be any Irish representation, sadly. But they allowed just over 1,000 fans into Windsor Park last night. And I don't know if you saw this, but the fans had to walk through a disinfection pod. They really did. They walked through a tunnel where they had the bejesus sprayed out of them with disinfectant. 1,000 of them. Now, I don't know how many fans Windsor Park in Belfast holds. Is it 30,000? Is it 40,000? I don't know. But did they need to spray the living bejesus out of them before they left them in? Well, apparently they did. Thanks, Peter. I saw that last night. Hi to Scottish John in Austin, Texas. How you doing, pal? Hi to Sean, who's listening live for a change. Hiya, Sean. North Macedonia qualified too. The country went all out celebrating, and why not? He says. Hi to John Rorty in Boston. Hi, John. Hi to Stephen Hardy, who's looking forward to this new programme. I'm doing cartwheels and handstands in a blissful state of orgasmic euphoria. I'm positively salivating at the prospect of having so much hope injected into my arm before Christmas, he says. Yes, and by that, of course, he means this. He means Matt Hancock saying this.
I know that they will rise to this challenge of being ready, when the science comes good, to inject hope into millions of arms this winter.
Yes, HOPE stands for, I'm going to go all Gary Busey now, Buseyisms. HOPE stands for horrible, odious, pus and excrement. Horrible, odious, pus and excrement. That's what they're going to inject into your bloody arms. I'm going to take a very quick ad break. I'll be back with more after these.
Do you have a cat? And do you love your cat, but don't have the time to properly groom and tend to it? Then come to the
Pussy Parlour, because there's nothing worse than a badly trimmed one.
We here at the Pussy Parlour know how good a well-tended and carefully looked after pussycat looks to the owner, and always strive to leave yours looking trim and tidy. Our highly trained and discreet staff will clip and snip away, leaving yours looking like a movie star's. We'll treat yours to the day of its life by pampering it, preening it, washing it, then buffing it dry. We even have a massage service if yours needs a stimulating rub down. By the end, it'll be purring for more.
Pussy Parlour, because there's nothing worse than a badly trimmed one.
You love being pampered, don't you? Think about it. What's that beaver doing in here?
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Hello again. Christmas just wouldn't be the same without the traditional Christmas turkey. But don't make a total bobble of it. Just get new
Juice Loosener. Nothing better than a moist mouthful.
Whether you prefer nibbling a leg, munching a breast, or maybe even sucking a bone, trust us to have your bird trussed up a treat. Just open our legs and get stuffing. We can work wonders with your old bird, but we can't work miracles. Some birds are beyond help.
Gobble, gobble.
Juice Loosener. Nothing better than a moist mouthful.
There's nothing worse than giblets on show, so make sure her giblets are tucked up out of the way and not looking like a badly wrapped kebab. And don't forget, you can tell when your bird's ready for eating from the colour of her juices. If they're clear, munch away. If they're pink, leave her for a wee while. It's the wrong time.
Juice loosener. Nothing better than a moist mouthful.
So moist.
This is the Richie Allen Show, the most listened to independent news radio show in Europe.
Certainly is, and don't forget, as we approach Christmas,
don't kill granny.
Or conversely,
enjoy yourself and kill a granny is the answer.
Those are the choices. It's a binary choice. That's about the size of it. Right, speaking of grannies, wait till I tell you. Wait till I tell you. Gaming. Now, not online gambling, but gaming. Computer gaming is skyrocketing in the lockdown. It isn't just the kiddies either. OAPs have discovered the joys of PlayStation 4 and the Xbox and the Nintendo Switch. Oh yes, Jeremy Vine, BBC Radio 2, today, spoke with Bridget. Bridget is 76, no spring chicken, and is a seasoned gamer. Here is, this isn't a spoof either, 76-year-old Bridget on Jeremy Vine. Feast your ears.
Bridget, how nice to meet you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
So I got the details right. You're 76 years old and you're in Louth in Lincolnshire.
You're correct.
Okay. And listen, I know so little about gaming. I've got one device at home, but it's not, it's I don't think it's the same as yours. What, you use a PlayStation, is that right?
I use lots. I've got PlayStation, I've got a Switch, I've got a Wii, all plugged in at the moment, and an Xbox.
Wow. Because some people are, you could spend the whole day on a PlayStation and that's enough. Why would you need a Wii as well?
Because she's 76, Jeremy. She goes to the toilet about 57 times a day.
Well, because I do Wii Fit on it.
Oh,
I do,
yeah,
exercises on it and everything, but there's different games on different consoles.
So what's your day?
He's struggling here.
What's your day look like then, most days? When you get up, you have your breakfast, and then what do you go on to first?
I'm on the PlayStation at the moment.
What are you playing?
Uncharted 3.
Uncharted 3. Now, let me think. No, I haven't done that one. What's that involving?
It's like they're treasure hunters and they're always being shot at and killed and damaged and there's lots of puzzles in it, which I like.
Do you want to turn it on and take us through it a bit?
Yes.
I'll give it a shot. I'll turn my TV up for you.
Okay.
Go for it, Bridget. So she turns the TV up.
Are you armed?
I'm well armed. Oh my God, I've just lost my shield.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She lost her shield.
I'm
trying to climb up. Oh, my God. I'll have to stop. Oh,
we put you off. We put you off.
I'm going to have to kill some of these baddies.
Okay, that's fine. Don't mind us. What weapon are you using, Bridget? No, don't.
Are you deaf, Bridget? What weapon are you using?
Don't let me distract you.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
Right, that's got them. I'm now climbing up to the top of the ship.
What weapon have you got?
I've got two weapons with me. I've got a handgun.
Handgun. And?
Take your time.
I've got a rifle, but I can't use the rifle while I'm climbing. I can only use the handgun.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. Well, only an idiot would think that you could use the rifle while you're climbing. This is fantastic. And it goes on.
So where are you now? You're near the top of the ship?
I'm nearly there, but there's men everywhere.
Oh, gosh. Well, that could be good news. I don't know.
This is BBC Radio 2. Jeremy Vine is speaking to a 76-year-old woman on the radio while she's playing a video game. You couldn't make it up.
Are they below you?
No, they're above me, and I'm trying to climb up. But I'm getting stuck.
You in the rigging?
I'm up there now. I might have to. Oh,
what's happened?
Oh, I made it.
Well done. Are you in the crow's nest?
No, not yet.
And when you get to the top of the ship, what do you do then?
I'm not sure.
This is brilliant.
No, it isn't. It's Car Crash Radio, Jeremy. And we know that you're going to carve out your producer's heart with a spoon after the show. I know, I've been there. But I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
But you're trying to stay alive and fulfil some sort of task that I could work.
Oh yeah.
That,
yeah. Oh yeah. I'm trying to. At the moment, I'm hunting a treasure, an ancient treasure.
I think she has COVID.
Okay.
And I can swap my guns now. I've got a G-Mal rifle.
Go on.
Oh, good. You got a grenade.
Have you got a grenade?
Oh, my God. Oh.
And then she tells them that she died. That was today. But there is an interesting aspect to it. He brings up the grandchildren. And that's all important. She's dead now. Her character is dead. She's not dead. But if Bridget can stay alive for another 10 years and make it to 86, Elon Musk will help her to live on in the cybersphere. Now, this isn't a joke. Musk reckons that our consciousness can be captured through transhumanism programs after the physical body dies, and we're not that far away from that. So hang in there, Bridget, but stay off of my team, I would say. Here's Bridget talking about access to grandchildren in the pandemic. Yeah.
And you hook up and play with your grandchildren, do you, as well?
Well, yes, I can't at the moment because they usually come round and congregate in the dining room and we play games. But at the moment, they can't come round because I'm shielding.
Sure, I understand, but surely you can, because of lockdown, can you connect with them through games?
Yeah, and this is the plan.
Through the games?
No, we've done quizzes and that over Zoom, the whole family.
Yeah.
But no, we haven't gamed over the internet.
So
two of my grandchildren came round before this last lockdown.
Yeah.
We had to go at Mario Kart's. Four of us all playing Mario Kart.
They must love coming round to Granny's house, I bet.
They do.
They do. Bridget, 76, Jeremy Vine today. The Jeremy Vine BBC Radio 2 show, showcasing a 76-year-old granny playing a game of some sorts on her PlayStation. It's kind of staggering stuff, really. How you doing, by the way? You well? Here's Tina Turner on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Some of you will remember Chris Eubank. Christopher Livingston Eubank. That was his proper name. Former middleweight and then super middleweight champion of the world. Used to enter the ring to the strains of Tina Turner's The Best. You're with the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. The time is exactly 4:15. I don't know how long these programmes will last on Fridays. I mean, it'll be here every Friday. Sometimes it'll be an hour, sometimes 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. But let me give you a heads up. 5 o'clock this afternoon, live from Bristol, I recommend you check out Tony Gosling. thisweek.org.uk. That's the website you need to go to. Tony will be live for 3 hours of news and news analysis, unlike anything you will hear in the mainstream media. It's Tony Gosling and a cast of thousands. thisweek.org.uk, live from Bristol at 5 o'clock this evening. He's a top bloke. You hear Tony regularly on this programme. Thanks for all your tweets, by the way. Hi to Matt in Western Massachusetts. And I want to say a special hello, by the way, to Rajesh Parmar. Rajesh Parmar, who's a good friend of mine, who's listening in Texas. Thanks, Rajesh, for your support and your kind words, mate. I appreciate that. Hi to Alan, our bass ninja, our working musician, and roadie in Liverpool this afternoon. Strange place Liverpool must be now. They've rolled out that pilot programme there, haven't they? They've introduced a pilot programme. The government wants to test every man, woman and child in Liverpool for coronavirus, but not once, not twice, not even thrice. It wants to test people all the time. Why? Well, it wants to find the virus in people with no symptoms. Why? Well, it wants to keep scaring the bejesus out of the public until the vaccine comes. More on that, but we're not going to be too heavy on it today. More on that fairly soon. Yeah. The Office for National Statistics published statistics today. the ONS, as it is called in the media, the Office for National Statistics, published statistics today, and there has been a media frenzy. Why? Well, because these are the very first statistics since the start of lockdown 2.0. These statistics cover lockdown obedience. Lockdown obedience. Are we obeying lockdown 2.0? Well, the ONS has the answer. But the statistics also cover the current R rate. What does R rate mean? The R rate is the number of people likely to become infected by a single infected person. Does that make sense? I'm not going to repeat it. Here's Sky News' Ali Fortescue reporting on this today.
So I think three interesting bits of data today. The first, as you say, the R number last week, it was between 1.1 and 1.3. This week, between 1 and 1.2. So it has fallen slightly. I think it's important not to draw too much from these small incremental changes, but that does fit in with the pattern we've seen the last couple of weeks, that R number coming down slightly. The second interesting bit of data is from the Office for National Statistics. This is the infection survey. It is seen as perhaps the most reliable way of looking at how COVID-19 is spreading, because it looks at random data, so asymptomatic people as well as people who are symptomatic. And it found that there were 654,000 cases in the community, estimated 654,000 cases in the community in the week ending the 6th of November. That is more than the previous week. It's about 1 in 85 compared to 1 in 90. But the ONS say that the rate of increase is slower than in previous weeks. So again, perhaps a glimmer of hope, but again, I think it is important to look at the longer term picture rather than the individual weeks, but perhaps a glimmer of hope there. The final data set that has come out this morning, which is very interesting, is again from the Office for National Statistics. This looks at compliance and support for the COVID-19 measures. It found that support is still high for the national lockdown, with 76% of people in favour of the measures, but young people do not seem to be following the guidelines, with nearly a quarter of people aged 16 to 29 having had physical contact indoors with someone outside their household in the past 24 hours.
Yeah, so more senior people, more mature people, adults, seem to be all for lockdown 2.0. But as Ali Fortescue said there, the ONS is reporting that a quarter of 16 to 29-year-olds are not having it and will continue, and, well, they should continue, to meet with people from other households, yes.
24 hours. It is a different picture on the other end of the spectrum, though. 94% of people aged 70 and over following social distancing guidelines. So a discrepancy there between the older and younger generation. That is crucial data, though, because it's the first time we can see the data from the beginning of the second national lockdown. So it gives us a bit of a sense of whether or not people are following the rules a second time
around. Yes, young people are selfish.
Enjoy yourself and kill a granny is the answer.
That's their attitude. Enjoy yourselves and kill granny. Yeah, the ONS today. Ali Fortescue there in Sky's newsroom. Hey, Kevin O'Sullivan and Michael Graham are presenters for Talk Radio. They discussed this morning the prospect that the government will use the miracle vaccine breakthrough. This is the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine, which we learned will be rolled out as early as December to key workers and to the most vulnerable. This is the totally untested, brand new experimental vaccine. The first of its kind, RNA vaccine. Yeah. Everybody is triumphant. Everybody is triumphantly, at least in the UK media, jumping for joy, or yumping for yoy, as one of the vaccine manufacturers or scientists said, jumping for yoy. Apparently, everybody's thrilled about it. But these talk radio presenters, they reckon that the promise of the vaccine will enable the government to keep the lockdown going until spring. Kevin O'Sullivan and Mike Graham here on Talk Radio today.
I still don't quite understand why we're all supposed to take a vaccine for a condition that 99.5% of all sufferers recover from.
Well, you won't be getting a vaccine for quite some time, I don't think. I mean, all this talk of having three vaccines available before, you know, Christmas. By next week, it'll be five, it'll be 10. You know, we've ordered millions and millions. I mean, you know, logistics is not something that this government has proven itself to be particularly good at. So, I mean, I think I'll wait and see whether the proof is actually in the pudding, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll tell you what worries me about the vaccine hysteria, and that's what it is, by the way. It's hysteria overblown. But it will give the government a chance to say more lockdowns so we can buy time until we have the vaccine. So I fear that the spectre of this mysterious vaccine that may or may not be any good, might not be here for another year, is going to encourage this government to lock us down willy-nilly for months to come. They're going to keep doing this to say, we're buying time for the vaccine. It's really worrying.
It is worrying, yes. But apart from talk radio, there isn't anybody else discussing this. The Daily Mail, which was valiantly fighting alongside the Daily Telegraph in an effort to at least put the other side of it across, to at least feature scientists and academics who are anti-lockdown. The Mail is going backwards. The Telegraph is on its own now. Dreadful stuff. Dreadful stuff. It is exactly 6.5 minutes to 5 o'clock drive time with the BBG. Another short ad break, back in a moment with plenty more.
Do you like to get felt? Do you see getting felt as a pleasurable experience? Or has it been a while since you last got felt? Then
get felt doing at Big Willy's.
Big Willy's felt carpets and floor coverings has an amazing range of felt products. So if you love getting felt, get felt properly down at Big Willy's.
Get felt doing at Big Willy's.
We've a huge store in Paisley. If you come down today, you can get felt in the front and even get felt round the back. It's that big.
Get felt doing at Big Willy's.
Here's a happy customer.
I get felt big time down at Big Willy's, and I've never been the same since.
Want felt? Get felt doing at Big Willy's.
I love Big Willy's.
Does the man in your life play guitar? Or is your girlie a guitar-wielding rock chick? Then get them the ultimate guitar accessory this Christmas.
Get a massive black strap-on. Your guitar.
Massive Black have been making guitar straps for the great and good of the rock world since 69 and have managed to get a strap on most major rock acts at one point or another. Does your instrument keep drooping? No problem. Just
get a Massive Black strap on your guitar.
Before I had the pleasure of playing my guitar with one of these amazing straps, my guitar kept falling off. I was forever bending over, but I've learned my lesson. Now I won't play unless I have a Massive Black strap on. And remember our guarantee, the first time you play with your Massive Black strap on, you'll definitely feel the difference. So much, you'll probably squeal. Like a piggy.
Get a Massive Black strap on your guitar.
Pluck away to your heart's content with a Massive Black strap
on. It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Hi to Gilad Atzmon, top man, saxophonist extraordinaire. Think is listening in this afternoon. We'll get him back on the programme in the near future. My mate Hayden Hewitt is on Twitter this afternoon, triggerwarning.tv, youtube.com/triggerwarning. He's just tweeted out a link to me there. I've not had a chance to read it yet. Law Commission would make Muhammad cartoons illegal. Yes. Now, we've talked quite a bit about the hate speech bill, the hate crime bill and hate speech laws, which are rushing through the Scottish Parliament. They will become law in Scotland. It's coming here as well. It's a major, major big deal. The criminalisation of speech. Opinions labelled as hate speech, leading to a visit from Plaid, leading to a summons, leading to an appearance before a magistrate. There's nothing funny about any of this. I've been covering it for many years. I've just tweeted a link there to that. It's from the order-order.com website. I think it's time for another tune, so I do. And this is for my Christian, for my Muslim, for my Jewish listenership. I describe myself as an atheist, then an agnostic. I don't know what the bloody hell is going on. But I'm playing this for you. This is Norman Greenbaum on the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. This is Spirit in the Sky. Love this. Back with plenty more chat in 3 minutes. Doctor and the Medics did a very good cover version of that in the 1980s, I think. Sometime around 1986, that's the original and the best, Norman Greenbaum. Norman Greenbaum. Tony Gosling, live in Bristol, 5 o'clock this evening. Thisweek.org.uk, that's where you'll find all the information. Do check Tony out, top guy. Speaking of top guys, Spiro Skouras is in the house. Great guy, activistpost.com. Spiro's YouTube channel is exceptional. Spiro Skouras on YouTube. He's tweeted a link to me. Thank you. Thank you, Spiro. It's The Metro, and it is a story that alleges that you might need a vaccine, proof of vaccination, before being allowed to go to work. And quoted in the story in The Metro is toxic Tory Tom Tugendhat. Oh yeah, don't like Tom Tugendhat very much, goddammit. The announcement that a COVID-19 vaccine, reportedly 90% effective, may be rolled out in the UK as soon as mid-December, has Brits daring to dream of a post-lockdown world. This is the story in The Metro. Will you have to get a jab before you jet off? So you're COVID immune? Will you have to get a jab before you go to work? I would say probably. It's where it's all going. And I played a clip earlier on in the programme of the BBC Radio 5 sports guy, Chris Latcham, saying, I hope we'll get some fans into the stadiums next summer for Euro 21, now that we'll have a virus vaccine. And you're going to hear a lot of that. And I reckon, dear listener, if you are a watcher, if you are an avid consumer, an avid watcher of soap operas, if you watch Coronation Street, if you watch EastEnders, if you watch Fair City in Dublin, if you watch Emmerdale, spit it out, Paddy. You will hear these things in the soap operas. You will hear them. That's how they're going to get it across to people. Your daytime soaps will feature characters who will sometimes drop in to a conversation, something like, going to have to get the vaccine, aren't I? Going to have to get the vaccine, aren't I, before I go to the Canary Islands next summer. It's going to be normalised in the media, in sometimes very subtle and other times not very subtle ways. It'll be everywhere, the vaccine. You'll be going nowhere, Baldy. I'll be going nowhere. No more football for me. No more foosball. Eh? No more concerts for the most concert-going man in the country. I am, by the way. I'll take the Pepsi Challenge with anybody. I reckon I see more live musical concerts a year than anybody else. Get a lot of freebies. And I also pay to see a lot of concerts. Anyway. Anywho. Thank you, Spiro. That's where it's all going. Spiro Skouras on YouTube. Top man. Hey, come here and I tell you. Theatre has gone to the dogs, as has musical theatre. For my American listeners, nay, for my listeners in the subcontinent, for my listeners below the equator, gone to the dogs means it's garbage. Theatre and musical theatre. I heard today, dear, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Put your wife down for a minute. Stop stirring the sauce there. Listen till I tell you. I heard the worst synopsis I ever heard in my life. And I mean ever. Of a musical this morning. Producer Kenny Wax, great name. Kenny Wax was on Sky to talk about a musical called Six. What's it about, Kenny? The Sky presenter asked Kenny Wax, what's your musical about?
Six is an amazing show. It appeals to a very young and diverse audience. It's a modern retelling of the Six Wives of Henry VIII as a theatrical pop concert. Imagine the Spice Girls or Little Mix reforming as Henry VIII's six wives and really telling him how it should have been done. So a wonderful way of retelling history, but through female eyes.
Yeah.
What kind of fuckery is this?
My God. How did that get made? How did that get greenlit? What have you got for me, Kenny? as he takes the cigar out of his mouth. Imagine Henry VIII's wives as the Spice Girls and Little Mix telling Henry VIII how things should be. What do you think of that? Can you get the fuck out of my office before I kill you? Anyway, are these difficult times even for theatre, Kenny?
And how has it been affected by lockdown? Obviously, all productions have been closed, but I mean, it was doing really, really well. It was packing out the theatres, and you know, you're able to reopen, and you're hopeful that that production can stay on.
Yeah, it's been really tough. We were about to open on Broadway in March. We were running in the West End. We were running on a UK tour. Since then, we've tried to get a drive-in open, which was also cancelled due to concerns of local council shutdowns. And then we were due to go into rehearsal a couple of weeks ago. We tested all 35 members of the company, all negative. And then on that very same day, they announced the second lockdown. So it's been incredibly frustrating for the cast, for our audiences. We're now going to try again. We open on the 5th of December in London, and we also open on the 4th of December at the Lowry in Manchester.
At the Lowry in Manchester, which is only it's only a short walk across the road from here. I should go to see a musical about Henry VIII, where his wives are portrayed as singers like Spice Girls and Little Mix. How did that get greenlit, eh? Get the fuck out of my office, Kenny, before I throw you out of the building. Lovely stuff. Have we time for another tune? We have always time for tunes. Lots of tweets coming in. Hi to Cliff Moore, great friend of mine. How you doing, Cliff? Love, Cliff. Cliff, my response to your tweet, mate, I'm not telling you that you're bullshitting. The person you are retweeting, I think, is bullshitting. That's all I'm going to say. It's never going to happen. If it does happen, I'll say, wow, I was wrong. And I'll be so glad to be wrong. But I smell horse manure. Person Alley. 6 minutes past the hour. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish on the Richie Allen Radio Show, broadcasting live from Salford at 4:10. I got the time really wrong earlier on. I think I might have said it was 4:50. Don't mind me. I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. Wow. Hi to John Nicol, good friend of mine. How you doing, John? Listening live, and therefore, because he can listen live, this time is enjoying the programme, loving the adverts as well. Thanks, John, I appreciate that. Let me scroll down some interesting tweets coming in the last few moments. Hi to Lola Fizzbomb. How you doing, Lola? Good job. Good job. Let me scroll on down there. Cliff, yeah, Cliff is in good form. Watching but not believing. Ah, there are some people claiming that they're going to arrest Matt Hancock over the lockdown. They're not going to arrest him. And I've not featured them because I don't believe them. And I'll have egg all over my face if I'm wrong, but I won't be wrong. I was only ever wrong once in my life before I got the time wrong, 20 minutes ago. And that time was when I thought I was wrong. Kevin Campbell says, Richie, Six was at the Lowry Theatre last Christmas. This is the Henry VIII musical. They did the small theatre and I was in the Grinch show in the bigger theatre. Kevin, you were in the Grinch itself. Good man. Kevin is an actor. Nice to meet you, Kevin. Thanks for the comment, mate. Lovely. Let me scroll on down. My friend Ruth in Australia. Hi, Ruth. Good friend. Great friend. Richie, this is heartbreaking to me. The idea that I would need to be vaccinated in order to be allowed to go to work or go to school. I am two subjects away from completing my degree in criminology, criminal justice. What a waste. I still will not be taking the vaccine no matter what, says Ruth. Well, Ruth, if you're so close, you might very well be able to manage it without having the vaccine if you are determined not to have the vaccine. Charlie Stevenson tweets, Richie, if the government is trying to protect us from getting sick, why haven't they banned diesel vehicles? Charlie, less of the attacks on diesel vehicles. I just won't have it on this programme. I drive a 2013 model Renault Megane Estate diesel car, which gets 60 miles to the gallon. Feck off now with your attack on diesel vehicles, Charlie. Not having it on this programme. I love my diesel Renault Megane with 500,000 miles on the clock and she keeps going. I can't get anybody to steal the thing in Salford. It's an amazing thing. I leave the doors open. I leave the sunroof open. Yes, it has a sunroof, that model of Renault Megane Diesel Estate 2013. Nobody will rob it. It's that shite. Anyway, want somebody to rob it so I can claim on the insurance. Harfin tweets, Richie, I've made peace with being locked out of things. And things I used to enjoy, he says. I've made peace with being locked out of things I used to enjoy. Instead, travelling around the UK, we've had two family breaks in the countryside and we're finding alternatives. But I'm heartbroken for my daughters. No clubs. They live for the clubs, says Harfin, but they can't get in because the nightclub scene is dead on its arse now. Yes. Hi to Bruce Fenton. Great guy. Exogenesis, who was on the programme before. I'd love to have Bruce back on again. How you doing, Bruce? Hi to Fabrizio. How you doing, Fabrizio? We might go to see Six the Musical just to see Henry the Eighth being beheaded. No, no, no. The Six Wives. Yes, the Six Wives being beheaded. Spice Girls. We wouldn't wish it on anybody. We wouldn't wish it on anybody. 14 minutes past the hour. Here's one for you. Plans for a Holocaust memorial to be constructed in Victoria Gardens, which you may or may not know, looks onto Westminster, looks onto Parliament, right, are nearly there, nearly finalised. Now, this has been very controversial. Plans to build a Holocaust memorial in Victoria Gardens have been very controversial. Not least because there's already a Holocaust memorial in London and the country's museums are full of displays and audiovisual presentations about the Holocaust. You see, there's no escaping the Holocaust. Maybe I should have chosen my words carefully there. I don't mean to offend anybody or be disrespectful. What I mean is there's no escaping being told about the Holocaust. There's no getting away from it. Whether you subscribe to Amazon Prime Television, whether you subscribe, goddammit, to Apple, whether you're a Netflix subscriber, whether you go to the cinema, Holocaust is everywhere. Can't get away from it. I'm sick to death of it. I said this last year, it proved to be very controversial. But anyway, it's going to go ahead. Eric Pickles, who's a Tory, who's a member of the House of Lords, who has his own postcode. After sex, Eric's wife rolls away and she's still on top of him. And former Labour MP Ed Balls, we're on with Adam Bolton on Sky this morning to discuss this. It's still contentious. Bolton asks Eric Pickles, will it get built?
Yes, very, very confident. The fundamental question was whether or not the public benefit outweighed doing substantial damage to the park. And as it has been clearly demonstrated, the park is going to be enhanced. We're very confident that this wonderful Memorial and Learning Centre will be there and will be there to deal with anti-Semitism and to give a proper, balanced recording of what the United Kingdom did in reaction to the Holocaust, some things that we should be very proud of, some things that we should be slightly ashamed of.
I mean, Ed Balls, why do we need this next to Parliament? There are other memorials in other parts of London.
Yeah.
Why put it slap bang up against Parliament?
Good man, Adam. A real question. Why do that, Ed Balls? Parliament. Ed Balls.
I think
Strictly Come Dancing's Ed Balls.
I think the important thing about the Holocaust was that this was something which started in the German Parliament with the election of what turned out to be a kind of deeply anti-Semitic racist.
Yeah, so stick your ugly memorial outside the German Parliament then.
This terrible government in Germany. And part of the story of the response to the rise of the Nazis and the move towards the Holocaust was the failure of parliaments in Britain and other parliaments around the world to engage properly. We did allow children to flee from the Nazis, but we prevented their parents from coming here to Britain. And we now live in an age where anti-Semitism and attacks and racial attacks have been on the rise in recent years. Our politics has become...
That isn't true, by the way. Anti-Semitism and attacks on Jews is not and has not been on the rise in the UK. there isn't a statistic around, there isn't a document around that bears that claim out and bears it to be true. It's a nonsense, but they keep repeating it time and time again.
More polarised, and we think in the 21st century, it's very important that we as a society keep reminding our parliamentarians, challenging them and all of us as citizens to learn the lessons of the most terrible event of the 20th century to make sure that we don't see a repeat of those events in the future. And the location next to Parliament not only means it will be hugely visited, but the symbolism of locating this memorial next to Parliament and reminding us of when parliaments rise to the challenge, but sometimes also don't rise to the challenge, or we can even be responsible for terrible acts. This is a very important part of the learning.
Mm. But then Adam Bolton asks another good question to Eric Pickles. What does Britain have to be ashamed of? Why does Britain need to apologise in the form of another memorial? What did Pickles say?
Oh, sure. I mean, we've just spoken about the Kindertransport and our failure to let parents in. And remember that the Kindertransport was organised by people in Britain, not by the government.
So we left children in, but we didn't leave their parents in. So Britain should be ashamed of that and build an ugly monument in Victoria Gardens, is effectively what you're saying.
The second thing, obviously, is the restrictions for Jewish people going to Palestine. I think it was very significant that Jeremy Hunt, when he was Foreign Secretary, made a public apology for that white paper during the Second World War. But you know, there are things we should be very proud of: the liberation of Belsen, and the way in which anti-Semitism was addressed. We'll also be looking at subsequent genocides, so Rwanda and obviously in Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Jesus. Wow. They're going to build this in Victoria Gardens. I think I might start making the 220-mile drive with my golden retriever and German Shepherd Collie Cross to walk them in Victoria Gardens. Do I have to elaborate? No, I didn't think I did. Of course, I won't do that because I'll be done for a hate crime. No pissing on the memorial. No pissing on the memorial. Hey, listen, welcome to the programme. We've got to 21 minutes past four. Didn't think we'd get this far. First of a brand new series of Friday afternoon drive time programmes with me, the BBG. In case you're... Don't even ask me. Don't even ask me. I have no idea what happened there. You might have heard me on the radio show yesterday talking about a proposal by Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank. It is proposed that we impose a 5% tax on people who choose to work from home after the pandemic. People are working from home now. Well, many industries, many operations, many businesses are now expecting their staff to work from home. Some of them are not telling their staff to work from home, but are telling their staff, you can if you want to. And Deutsche Bank said, tax these people 5%, the ones who don't have to stay at home. There's a guy called Singh. He's a local government employee. And he phoned Nick Ferrari on LBC Radio this morning to complain about this. I have to say, good points made by the presenter and by Mr. Singh. Listen.
Working from home, great idea from Deutsche Bank. You should have to pay more tax. Singh in Leicester. Good morning. Good idea, isn't it, Singh?
No, Nick. I work from home and I don't think it's a good idea.
Why?
The employer saves costs for not having their employees in
the office. They should pay you less because you're not working as hard.
They should pay less tax.
No. They should be paying you less, probably, because you're not working as hard.
But they also have the savings of electricity, heating, which presumably they wouldn't pay for, because their employees are not in there consuming the electricity, which they are, and the heating, which they are at home.
Please.
So why should...
Sorry? please don't tell me that everybody who's working from home is working as hard as those who when they used to come into the office.
Well, I can only speak for myself. I think I work probably about 3-4 times as hard.
What line are you in, Singh?
I'm in local government.
You're in local government, OK. It's not important for you to meet with colleagues in local government and to sometimes perhaps learn from someone senior, man or woman, to whom you report? You don't miss that benefit?
Well, Nick, I don't know whether you're aware of technology, but I do that on the line.
No. Seeing how someone operates in an office environment or in a meeting, a proper meeting environment, or possibly even in a factory.
Why can't you do that via all the online platforms?
You don't get the nuances. You just don't get them.
How is it any different from speaking over Microsoft Teams
to
somebody face-to-face? It's exactly the same, Nick.
Singh, you're sitting in an office and you see a colleague talk to another colleague and you pick up from that interaction. Not every conversation that you have is always going to be on a Zoom. Do you not realise what you pick up from seeing how other people interact?
How do you not interact over Microsoft Teams or some other platform?
We're never going to get there. If you cannot get your head around the idea of six people sitting in an office with random conversations taking place.
I can understand in a fashion kind of setting where you need to touch materials and whatnot, but if you're talking to somebody, just like I'm talking to you over the phone, seeing somebody on Microsoft Teams is exactly the same as sitting...
But then we don't need it in Leicester, do we? We could have that person in the Philippines and save a lot of money. We don't need to pay you in
Leicester.
And it
does happen.
Well... I think you're arguing, in a way, for a sense of losing your own job, but I wish you nothing but well.
Yeah, he is arguing, in a way. He's making an argument to make it easier for him to lose his own job. That's a very good point by Ferrari. I've talked about that quite a bit on this programme. Obviously, they shouldn't be taxing people 5% extra on top of the income tax they pay for working at home. That's outrageous. But at the same time, Ferrari is right. The advent of technology like Teams and Zoom and people being told to stay at home is going to make it easier to get rid of people. No doubt about that. And he's right, of course. The interpersonal relationship is important. You know, sharing the same oxygen as people, sitting next to them, talking to them, sharing lunch with them. Obviously, hugely important. Strange times, 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Just about time for me to do one today. It's been fun this afternoon. What are we? Approaching 90 minutes. Good job. Right, before we go, though, I did say that one of the things we would do on this programme is look back at the week that was. One of the things that blew my mind this week was the ending, the complete rubber stamping of, the ending of the climate change debate. I have argued for many years, even though I'm not a scientist, I'm not a geologist, I'm certainly no climatologist, but I've interviewed many men and women who are, and they have rubbished over the years the notion that CO2 made by man is irretrievably changing the planet. I think it's nonsense, or at least I did. It's been put to bed once and for all by a builder and by a bin man in Glasgow this week, speaking to Sky News. So that's the week that was, and this is the biggest story of the week for me.
You're born and bred in Glasgow, and you've noticed the weather changing.
The rain seems to be getting heavier. Sometimes you get up in the morning and it's bucketing it down.
That's it. Sometimes you get up in the morning and it's bucketing down, thus ending years of debate about whether climate change is a real, and whether it is real and a clear and present danger to you, me and everybody else. Let me tell you a couple of things, a couple or three things. Do get over to thisweek.org.uk. Tune in to The Politics Show with Tony Gosling and friends. That begins at 5 o'clock in around about 35 minutes from now. Do have a listen. It's a great show presented by a great guy. thisweek.org.uk. The next time you and I will talk will be at 5 o'clock on Monday for Monday's Richie Allen radio show. It's Monday to Thursday from now on at 5 and Fridays at 3 for drive time. So I won't be with you on Sunday. That's in the dustbin for the time being. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday. Closing out with this from the brilliant Gloria Gaynor. Nice way to end today. Thanks for listening. Bye.